Welcome to A Voice of a People live here on WGH Talk. Today is April the 13th of the year 2023. There remains 263 days in this year. That gives us plenty of time to enjoy the rest of the year and to carry out our plans and our dreams and our wishes and our thoughts, right? Enjoy this beautiful sunshiny day we've had. This will make three in a row, enjoying that nice warm weather outside, even though I'm on the inside and it's not so warm in here, but outside I know that it is really warm. Enjoy the sunshine. I know your plants are smiling and dancing in the sunlight, and just enjoy your day, and just be careful out there on the road, because you know when it gets nice outside, people like to drive faster and race and do all those type of things. So be vigilant while you're out there, and just be careful, you know, just be careful out there. But I just wanted to say, welcome sunshine for a while, because you know we have some dark, gloomy days in Ohio, and we just enjoy the sunlight when it comes. Put a smile on your face, you know, a pep in your step and a glide in your stride. Okay, my name is Linda Sims. Like I said, the name of the show is called A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call in if you would like to connect with me. I'm your guest. I'm your host today, okay? This hour by calling 740-383-9944 for questions, or if you would like to make comments. I would like to share with you who faithfully supports A Voice of a People, and that starts with Cheryl Lee. She has been a faithful supporter for possibly 7 years. She is the coordinator for Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Clubs, in all of our elementary schools in Marion, Ohio, Marion County, and North Union counties. It is a faith-based program. This is the end of their calendar year, but it will begin again in October. And if you would like your children or grandchildren to be a part of this after-school faith-based program, please give Cheryl Lee a call at 740-262-0939. And she is also the fundraiser for the program. Like if you would like to help in that area or do donations, please give Cheryl Lee a call at 262-0939. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement is free produce every third Saturday of every month, and this will take place this Saturday, April the 15th, at the above-mentioned address of Logos Christian Ministries. It will begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m., so please share this announcement with people you know, friends, family, neighbors, who has need of free produce. We also have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street of Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. And thank you, faithful supporters of A Voice of a People, for listening. Thank you. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And I pray you enjoy the show. I will share this thought for today, which I shared last hour, from Winnie the Pooh, Pooh Bear. I used to love his timid-like voice, and he was also always concerned and loving and caring and had empathy for everybody in the forest. And it goes like this. If ever there is a tomorrow when we are not together, there is something you must always remember. You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. But the most important thing, even if we are apart, I'll always be with you. Winnie the Pooh. And that last sentence. But the most important thing, even if we are apart, I'll always be with you. That reminds me of Hebrews 13:5 in the Bible. And I'm going to bring that up and read that to you. You ever had a virus on your phone? I think my phone has a virus. It does what it wants to do when it wants to do it. Let me see. Hebrews 13:5, Amplified Version. Let's see what it has to say. It makes me feel so good to know that someone will always be with me. And even though that was a quote from Winnie the Pooh, there is also someone else who says, I will always be with you. And that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I will be reading Hebrews 13:5 from the Amplified Version. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. You know, when I thought about that and I read, now King James Version does not make it, does not amplify it to that point, but it just says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right. But when you read it in the Amplified Version, it gives you a deeper meaning of what God is saying. I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Helpless. And sometimes we feel so hopeless and helpless because we think that we are out here all alone, and we think that we have to make our own way. We have to live our own life. We have to go and make our own money. We have to buy our own homes, clothes, whatever we need. You know, we think that we're all alone out there. And there was a time when I lived my life when I thought I was all alone and that there was no one out there helping me. And it was a hard time in my life. I didn't realize that God was still there with me. He was still helping me. He was still blessing me. We had life. We had, you know, I may have had a harder time getting to what I needed and getting it to my children, but He was there. He was concerned. He was helping me. He was giving me strength, you know, and what I had, He was multiplying it. He was multiplying a little bit, just like He fed the 5,000 and with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He did the multiplying. He did the supplying. And so when you feel like you are alone, you are not alone. You are not alone. He is always with you. Whether you want Him to be with you or not, whether you agree with Him or not, whether you follow His laws, precepts, or commandments or not, He is with you. You breathe His spirit, His air. He gave you that. He placed that within you. That's what makes you alive. That's why you get up in the morning, because He calls your name. And you open your eyes. He is with you. Even until the end of time. I won't leave you helpless. When you feel helpless, you're not helpless. Call on the one who says, I will not leave you helpless. Under no circumstances will I desert you. Have you ever been deserted, abandoned, left alone? When you thought you had someone by your side and they were going to stay there and be with you and you were going to live this great life together. And then one day they get up or you get up and feel like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to do this alone. I really don't need you. And you just drop the mic on someone and turn your back and walk away. Have you ever lived a life like that? Have you ever been there before? Yes, many of us have been there before. And then you find out that it wasn't all that you thought it was going to be, you know, but you've left this person destitute. At a spur of a moment, at the drop of a mic, you turn your back and you're gone. But God says, under no circumstances, no matter what you do that I don't like, God is saying, I'm not going to leave you. No matter how you talk when you get mad, God is saying, I'm not going to leave you. No matter how you treat your neighbor sometimes, when you know that you've treated them wrong, I'm never going to leave you. Even when you turn your back on him and you don't want to hear what he has to say, but you want to listen to another voice, you want to follow another God, you want to go another way, he says, I'll never leave you. That is impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. It's our nature not to be able, I guess, sometimes to deal with things, and we will not deal with things, and we will leave, and we will turn our back, and we will go another way. But God says, I'll never leave you. There's nothing you can do to make me turn my back on you. And it makes me think about Easter, which we just celebrated last Sunday. And how, no, it's not about the bunny rabbit. No, it's not about Easter eggs and the coloring and all that. And it's not really about that. It's about God coming down and incarnate himself in a body that was prepared for him, who lived, walked, born as a man child in this land, walked this earth, taught, healed, delivered, set free his people, was beaten mercifully, without, beyond recognition, couldn't even recognize him as a person or a human being, shed all his blood on the cross, every drop of his blood flowed down that cross into a stream, and died for each and every one of us. God did that. The body that he inhabited died for you on that cross, because he loved you and me that much. And still, after all those people did to him, spit in his face, beating with the cat of nine tails, stripping the flesh off his body, off his bones, put the crown of thorns on his head with spikes piercing into his skull, carrying a cross on his back made out of solid wood, almost crawling because he could not bear the weight of the cross. All those things he suffered, he bled and he died for you and for me. He still says, I'll never leave you. He still says, I'll never leave you. Well, some people may say, I don't want God to be with me. I just don't know him like that. I don't even know if I can trust him. But you can trust other people. You can listen to other people. You can do what they tell you to do. Some of you won't even listen to your parents, as if they don't know what they're talking about. Like they just dropped on the planet today and they've lived a whole life before you. And they do know some things that you don't know. They've had experiences that you have not experienced. But you won't hear. You won't listen. I remember growing up, I didn't always listen to my mom, but I heard what she said. I can still hear some of the things she said to me years ago today, and they have helped me live my life. And I hope I'm saying this, and this will be true of other young people. One day they will hear your voice. God will bring that back up to into their remembrance of the things that you have said when they experience certain events in their life. They will remember what you said. But I will never, which is a word that we as human beings are not used to saying because it really means nothing. Never. And what do we say? Never say never. Because things change, people change, situations change, circumstances. Never say never, but God can say never. Why? Why? Because he is immutable. He is incapable of changing. He does not change. He is the same today, yesterday, thousands of years ago, and tomorrow, thousands of years to come. He is the same. That's why he can say, never, I will never leave you. Under no circumstances desert you. Just drop you off like a mic. No. Nor give you up. Nor leave you without support. He's there to hold us up and support us each and every day. You know, sometimes we get up too fast and we fall backwards and maybe to the side. You know, maybe we may be outside walking and trip over just the sidewalk. But God is holding us up. He's holding us up. We don't even have to worry about holding up ourselves. Is there any type of way that we can start to trust him just for holding us up? Trust him that he will never leave us without support? That he will never, never leave us. Can we trust him for that? He said, nor will I forsake you or let you down. Have you ever been let down? I've let myself down. I know you've probably let yourself down. You've said something out there and put it in the atmosphere, and you failed to bring it through. How many times do we do that? We do things like that because we're human. We are conditional. See, God is unconditional. He loves us unconditionally. Like he says, under no circumstances, under no situations, under no condition will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. What about that? You ever had a grip and you're holding so hard and your fist kind of like gives way? He said, that's not my grip. My grip, I got you. That's what he's saying. I won't even relax my hold on you. I'm not going to get tired of holding you up. I'm not going to get tired of supporting you. I'm not going to get tired of just being there for you and with you and in you. I'm not going to get tired, he says. He said, assuredly not. He assures us that this will not happen. This will not happen. Wow. Imagine that, or try to. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently say, this is what we get from Hebrews 13. Now verse 6 says, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. In time of need, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? I will not be afraid of that. Because he is my support. He is holding me up. You know, he is my helper. We all need a helper. We're all looking for a helper. And sometimes we need a helper, and sometimes we just won't even ask, well, can you come and help me, or would you come and help me? God is there as our helper. And he wants to help. He wants to help us. He's helping us whether we want his help or not. He helps us to breathe. He helps us to see, to hear, to walk, to talk, to make decisions, to be able to talk to other people. This is who God is. He is our helper. In the time of trouble, in the time of need, he is there. Always. By your side. Always. Helping you. And sometimes we don't realize when we come into the middle of the road and don't know which way to turn, he's saying turn left. Or he's saying turn right. I got you. And sometimes we don't realize that it was him that led us that way. And it wasn't we ourselves. You're on a run and you're in this race and you're running with all you got. I mean, your feet is hitting the pavement and you're checking all the boxes and dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's, and you don't realize that he's helping you through it all, by your side, running right along with you. Whatever the race is, whatever the challenge is, he's right there with you, comforting you, encouraging you, compelling you, serenading you, calling your name, and saying, come unto me, those who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not only that, I will give you peace. My peace, he says, I will give you. Not as the world gives, but the peace that I have, I will give you that peace. I will bequeath it unto you. And it surpasses all understanding. Because the world doesn't understand peace. The world is in constant chaos all the time. And it seems to be getting worse. Even though God is still on the throne, the sun still shines. And the Son of Man shines even when the planet or the star sun that we see, that big yellow ball in the sky, isn't shining. The Son of God is always shining. He's shining down on us. He's shining through us. He's shining so the world can see him in you. Always shining. He says, you know, we are the light of the world. And you don't take a light and you hide it under the bush so no man can see the light. We are the light. Let our light shine so that men can see and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. The Lord is my helper in the time of need. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Because if I know he is my helper, if I understand that he is my support, and he is my Lord, and he is my God, and he is my Savior, and there's nothing that I can do to stop him from being who he is to me, then I can rest assured that he will never leave me, or he will never forsake me. He will never lose his hold on me, his grip on me. He will not let me slide out of his hands. But he's there for me. I can be assured that he will never leave me nor forsake me. I can build my hope and my trust upon that, which builds up my faith and my trust in him, and not so much my trust in me and what I can do. I tell you, people, we are powerless without God. We can do nothing without him. Nothing. and how, you know, great he is and how much he loves us. I'm going to read a little bit more of that, 7 and 8, and then I'm going to go to the book of John and read a scripture out of there. I think our pastor talked about this verse last night, but it says, remember your leaders, for it was they who brought you the word of God, the men of God, as leaders in the church, and consider the result of their conduct, the outcome of their godly lives. So we do have examples out there that God has put, you know, in our way that we can watch and see how the men of God are instructors and leaders and guides, live their lives as a light to the Lord. Imitate their faith, their conviction that God exists and he is the creator and ruler of all things, the only potentate. Woo! Ruler, creator, and ruler of all things, the provider of eternal salvation through Christ, and imitate their reliance on God. This is scripture. When you run across somebody that you can see or feel that most of the time, as much as possible, as being a human being, can trust God. God is saying, imitate that until it becomes a part of you, leaning and depending on him, not the person that you see. No, he don't want you to put your courage or confidence in that person. This is a walk you have to initiate yourself. No one can give you a relationship with Christ. Only you and God can develop that. But he's saying, as you see other people depend on him, you start doing it too. Yeah, you start doing it too. And imitate their reliance on God and absolute trust and confidence in his what? Power. And his wisdom and his goodness. All power has been given. Jesus said, oh my gosh, after the cross, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All power. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is God and goodness. People say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. What is good? Good has to be the absence of evil. And I'm going to look that up here. Just one second. Let me jot this down. Power, wisdom, and goodness. Okay, let's see. What is it? What is good? Absent. Opposite of bad, right? Okay. The power of God. But there is one source of strength that never fails. Never fails. Remember, there's that word again. Never. A word that we can give no justice to, but God can. But there is one source of meaning, one source of strength that never fails, God's power. The Bible verses about the power of God remind us that God alone has ultimate authority over all things in heaven and on earth. In stark contrast to our own frailty. God's power is everlasting and it is unshakable. See, you cannot stop God from being who He is. No matter how hard you try, that's God's power. And you know, man is on a quest to have all power, ultimate power over everybody. And that, you know, that's where Satan was. That's where Satan was. And that's why we're going through what we're going through now. This battle is still between God and Satan. And we're just the pawns in the middle. Okay. What is the definition of power of God in the Bible? God's power, the sort of power that dwells within every born-again believer and energizes his, her life and ministry, is not the sort of thing that you can touch or contain in a bottle. It is the very energy of the life of God Himself. It is the supernatural energy that emanates from God's being. So the power of God dwells in us and is in us. Born again believers. Because you must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. You have to believe that. To please Him. How do we get the power of God? Let's see how that happens. Okay. Power comes from God and is exercised through our weakness. The world around us needs followers of Jesus who are humbly empowered by and through the love of God. It is our job to influence those around us with His power for the good of the world we live in and for all eternity. See, when you talk about the power of God, you're talking about Him, His omniscience, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnibenevolent, supremely good. In other words, God knows everything, has the power to do anything, and is perfectly good. Perfect! God is perfect and He is pure. He has never done anything wrong. He is holy. He has never sinned and He's never done anything wrong. He's perfect, holy, and pure. That is who God is. You cannot go to Him and say, what did you do last week, God? You know you did such and such. You know you lied. You know you did. No. God is incapable of making errors or mistakes. Incapable. He is infallible. That's who God is. He does not make mistakes. He does not make, oh, I made a mistake here, or, you know, I should have done it that way. Not, no, 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 no. That's us. That is who we are, and that's how we live, and that's how we do things in our life. We just think that, oh, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And we should be. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, apologizing to people and trying not to make the same mistakes again. But God, He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't say, well, I should have done that. I wish I had blessed you this way and not that way. That is not Him. Now, let's see about the wisdom of God. Let's look this up, okay? The wisdom of God, meaning. Oh. It is a type of omniscience, the state of being omniscient, having infinite knowledge. Holy wisdom. Wisdom. Webster's Unabridged Dictionary defines wisdom as knowledge and the capacity to make due use of it. The fact that Solomon asks for not just knowledge, but insight on how to apply the knowledge effectively, he was granted things like riches, wealth, and honor. I Oh, and there seems to be three types of wisdom. Human wisdom. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and 9. Chapter 3, 19 through 20. Chapter 7, 16 through 17. The wisdom of this age is the wisdom we acquire through books, experiences, and observations. Human wisdom. There's also something called demonic wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2 and 6. Ephesians 6 and 12. And there's godly wisdom. James 3, 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 2 and 17. The divine wisdom is of God. The supernatural ability to bring solution to the dark matters that are too difficult for the human mind. Did you hear that? The supernatural ability. This is the divine wisdom of God. The supernatural ability to bring solution to the dark matters that are too difficult for the human mind. See? Dark matters are too difficult for us. Wow. That's why we need His power to be in this world. Because, see, there's darkness in this world. There's supernatural evil powers in this world. And we can't fight them alone. There are people that will bring it on. You cannot fight evil alone. And it says, also among others, divine wisdom can be defined as putting God's word to work as it applies to every area of one's life. That's the only way you can fight evils, with the finger of God, using God's words. And God has to empower you to even do that. And there seems to be five characteristics of wisdom. Prudence, discernment, foresight, control, flexibility, and persistence. Wisdom. Wisdom is the first and highest gift of the Holy Spirit because it is the perfection of faith. Isn't that something? Through wisdom, we come to value properly those things which we believe through faith. I'm learning a lot today. Those of you who are listening, I am really learning a lot. You know, we're not too old to learn. And we should learn something new every day. And if you haven't, I think it's a wasted day if you did not learn something new. I bet you didn't know this. The highest form of wisdom is kindness. Bet you didn't know that. I didn't know that. Kindness. The highest form of wisdom. Kindness. The difference between human wisdom and God's wisdom. It is maintained that human wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic in orientation. In contrast, divine wisdom is Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led. It seeks to glorify the Lord, not oneself, by focusing on the eternal sagacity of Jesus' atoning sacrifice. Human wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic in orientation. In contrast, divine wisdom is Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led. What are the seven spirits of God? Wisdom. Including the Spirit of the Lord and the spirits of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. What are the signs of wisdom? You often take others' perspectives at the heart of wisdom. It's the ability to make clear-headed, dispassionate decisions. You know how much you don't know. You have a rich emotional life. Seven steps to wisdom. One must first study under the fear of God, God's word, knowing that He is absolute authority and that He is infallible and capable of lying or making mistakes. That's how you put your trust in the word of God, knowing that that is one thing that He did leave for you as an instrument to come to know Him and who He is. His whole life and reasoning is in the book. That is, He is His word and His word is Him. One must study with loyal obedience or faith. One must study with scientia or knowledge. One must study with strength. One must study with good counsel. One must study with purity of heart. One must study under the fear of God. I'm going to try to get through these before time is up. As a Christian, you are responsible for the right use of your gifts, your talents, and time. College is a special gift that has been given to you, and you must take full advantage of this gift and apply what you have learned here in the proper service of the Lord in your country. One must study with loyal obedience of faith. You must have faith that we, as your teachers, know what is best for you. You must be loyal to the curriculum and vision of, well, this is about a certain college that, you know, people go to for ministry. One must study with scientia or knowledge. Information does not exist in a bubble. To fully understand what you are studying, you must acquire knowledge of the entire discipline. Just studying the Word of God. One must study with strength. Good study and scholarship is hard. Often you will need to read through multiple times. You're talking about reading the Bible, the Word of God, rewrite an essay or something like that. I take notes. I try to. One must study with good counsel. Good counsel includes reading the best books, citing the best and most reliable sources, and referring to the best commentators and analysis. One must study with purity of heart. You must study for the right reasons. Although getting a job, making money, and obtaining skills are all noble pursuits, the main reason a Christian studies is to develop wisdom, which he may then put in the service of the Lord and his country. Keep your eye on this goal at all times. And finally, one must study with wisdom. Wisdom sees the full complexity of an issue. Wisdom sees how all the disciplines work together and interact. Wisdom also sees the correct use of the knowledge and skills gained through study. To be wise brings you back to the first step, the fear of the Lord. Okay, so we learned a lot about wisdom. We've learned a lot about God. We've learned a lot about God will never leave us or forsake us, and that He will always be there with us, and that we could rest assuredly in those thoughts and in those words of the Lord sharing those things with us. Because God does not want us to be fearful or intimidated. I'm going to try to find this book for you in John and read that for you. It's so powerful. I love it. I think it's John 15. I hope you can hear me because I'm looking down in this book trying to find it. John 15. Yes. Bear with me just a moment. This is not
You're
the
listening
one.
To WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. From legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the Baloney Song.
Two Irishmen and a